Let's go. searched and I found nobody like Jesus. I searched and I found nobody like Jesus. I searched and I found nobody like Jesus. I searched and I found
nobody like Jesus.
I searched and I found
nobody like Jesus.
I searched and I found
nobody like Jesus.
Yes, I've looked and I found church, I will sing this.
And good morning, everybody. Wow, what a way to start the day, huh? Nobody like Jesus. And you know what the greatest part about that song is? The way it started out, right? Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do something a little bit different today. And I hope it's not too loud for you. But what we're going to do is we're just going to keep some light music playing behind today's message. Now, I don't usually rewatch the Rise Up episodes unless I'm, you know, watching them with my kids or family members. But I noticed something yesterday, and especially now that we're doing short clips of Rise Up, it just seems like something was missing. And I think that something is some light piano behind the message. So I hope it doesn't bother you. I know some people would rather have it completely quiet in the background, but I think I would rather have it with a little bit of light music. Now, I want to recognize, really quick, if I can, we have a brand new Rise Up listener, viewer, maybe future family member, M. Berryman 5. M. Berryman 5. We rarely get new people into Rise Up, because we all know that there's a lot of people out there. Most people are walking that wide road, and not many people are walking that narrow path. So we get a lot of new people in the news shows, in the political shows. But Rise Up is one of those shows where we notice a new name. And usually those new names end up staying for quite some time. River Rat. And so when I saw M. Berryman in here this morning, I immediately got excited. Probably like the older church, you know, the boomer generation churchgoers get when they see a new family come in with young kids. They're probably like, oh, because, you know, church attendance is way down these days. And when you get a family coming in with kids and all that, it changes everything, right? So it's nice to have you. Thank you for joining in with us today. And for all those who are new, this is my personal journey with Jesus. I do not claim to be your savior. I do not claim to be a pastor in any way. I guess I'll finally take the mantle of evangelist. I'm evangelizing. I'm doing what Jesus has told us all to do, and that's spread the gospel. And so in a way, I'm spreading the gospel. In a way, I am kind of leading service, but I'm a humble sinner. And this is my personal journey with Jesus. So there's ups, there's downs, there's laughing, there's crying, there's tears of pain and joy on this journey. But we are on episode number 485. And today's show is going to be a rough one for some people. Not meaning that you're going to leave here going, oh, I have a painful heart. No, you might leave here with a smile on your face after this one. But there's a lot of people in which this applies to. And we have not had this discussion in 485 episodes. We've touched on this topic because of my past. But we've not talked about it. So, get ready for episode 485 here on LFA TV's Rise Up. Where do babies go in death? I'll read for the description of today's show for you, and then we'll get to prayer. A lot of people wonder what happens to babies if or when they die. We are told that we are born into sin. That isn't biblical, though. We're going to get to what is biblical today. So let's talk about it. It may get a little bit emotional today, but we're going to get through it. Because we're here together in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. So please join us live, if you can. Share it out to everybody. And if you're watching this later on because you can't watch it live, it's very simple to share this. You can share it directly to your social media outlets, or you can grab the link and you can even text it or email it out. And there are going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of people who this applies to, whether they are faithful, whether they call themselves believers or not. This may bring some joy or some, what do you want to call it, relief to their hearts today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get to it, okay? Got my Yahweh hat, ready to go. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, I didn't know this was going to be a topic that we spoke about last night. And you brought this message to me this morning clearly because I and everyone else needs to hear this. Lord, babies are so precious to us. They are a blessing directly from you. They're vulnerable. They're innocent. And it allows us to see the best parts of humanity. Unfortunately, because of sin in this world, and reasons that we don't know, because you are a sovereign God who has control over life and death. But unfortunately, babies do pass away. And Lord, this message may not be for people who don't have children, but this message can be given to those in their families or in their work environment or their friends, because all of us know somebody, or maybe we are victims ourselves of having this happen. Lord, please let me be a vessel for your message today. Help us lean on the Holy Spirit for answers, and help us go to Scripture for biblical proof. We thank you for this message today, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you guys know, in 2015, 2012. Got my dates mixed up there for a minute. In 2012, I was part of a decision to willfully abort a baby. And it doesn't matter how many years pass. If I think about it, if I talk about it, it breaks my heart. Now, I know that I'm forgiven for it. We've had that discussion, and I've forgiven myself for it. But I willfully did it. How many people out there didn't willfully do it and lost babies? Katia76 says, I lost three babies. Two were twins. When I was in my early 20s, it was devastating. I know they are in heaven. Forever Biker says, gone until the music stopped again. No message can be heard with it playing. Okay. God bless you. Have a great day. Antlob says, 1992 for me. And I thought about it every day since. You know? I thought about it every day of my life since that day. And I always wondered, because they say the sins of the father passed down to the children. And I always wondered if that sin that I committed would be passed on to that child. And I always wondered if that child was in heaven or hell. I really did. Now, again, that was my sin that I am responsible for. But there are many out there who lost children in miscarriages or drinking or drug abuse or whatever. And today's message is going to talk about this, okay? Now, I will give you some good news. The woman that I had impregnated and talked into having an abortion, she just had a baby with her new husband. And I've not reached out to her because it's not my place to do so, and I'm a married man, and you know, I just don't want to go there. But to see that she has a brand new baby boy, thank you, Lord. Because I can't imagine what it's like for the mother. I know what it was like for me. I was in the room with her when they did it. And that's why I was a big advocate against abortion ever since then. Because I know firsthand as a father what it feels like to be in that room when they do it. But God has blessed her and gave her a new baby. Now, I want to get right into today's message because it is also December 5th, which means we're reading the fifth chapter of Luke. L.M. Burkowski said 1986, 1990, and 2011 for me. M. Berryman said, I remember my mom having my sister have an abortion as young as 15 years old and not understanding it, but felt sadness for some reason. Where do babies go when they die? Here's my notes for today. First off, we have to understand that babies are not guilty. That's why they say innocent babies. That's why they talk about babies being vulnerable. That's why Jesus was born in the flesh as a vulnerable baby. We have to understand first and foremost that children, babies, are not guilty. They are born innocent, which is why they are so precious, and why we call them a blessing from God. You might have heard or been taught throughout your life that we are born into sin, but that's not biblically correct. The Bible does not support the original sin teaching or the original sin theory that you are just, as soon as you are born out your mother's womb, you are a sinful human being. And unless you repent, you're going to hell. The Bible does not support that at all. It supports that we are born with a sinful nature. We have an inherent desire in the flesh to commit sin, and all of us eventually will. For the Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned. And that is correct. Everybody that has the knowledge of right and wrong, that has the ability to have a guilty conscience, has, have, and will sin. This is what Paul describes in Romans chapter 7. To say we are born guilty doesn't make sense, because the definition, biblically and in your Webster dictionary, of sin is a willful rebellion against God. Let me repeat that one more time. Being born guilty, that narrative doesn't make sense. Because as a baby, we are not willfully rebelling against God. Babies don't have the ability to rebel against anything, let alone the ultimate creation and the ultimate authority. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. So at some point, you reach what we call the age of accountability. This is where you are old enough to understand that there are wrong things that you can do. And if you do them, then okay, now God has to start holding you accountable. Now, before we get to the next part of this, we must understand that God has a thing called sovereignty. And God's sovereignty oversees everything in his creation. And in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 32:39, it talks about God knowing you before you were even in your mother's womb, how he intricately created you but knew you before that. And then once you're born, you start being, basically you are clay and he's the potter. And he's molding you. And the minute that you're able to rebel against that molding of your creator, that is when you are starting to be held accountable. God's sovereignty oversees your creation, your intricately woven fetus that becomes a baby in the mother's womb that becomes a human being. But it also talks about in Deuteronomy 32:30-39, it talks about him having sovereignty over all life and death. So we have to understand God's sovereignty. We have to understand God's promises, his gifts, his blessing, And we have to understand what sin actually is. It's a willful rebellion against your Creator God. And babies just can't do that. So when you reach that age of accountability, that is when God starts holding you accountable. When you start having that understanding between right and wrong, and you see the wrong, and you see the right, and you end up doing the wrong. That is when you are willfully rebelling against God, and babies just can't do that. How do we know that babies go to be with the Lord? How do we know this? Where in the Bible, not where it is, where in Jeremy's speech today does it say it, but where in the Bible does it support that babies that die go to be with the Lord? Well, we're going to get to that in just a second, but I want to read this. M. Berryman said, Jeremy, thank you for saying this. I've heard from a few people, they say God knew he or she wouldn't have accepted him, so that's why the baby goes to hell. I do not believe this. It's wrong. That is wrong. And I'm actually going to go to 2 Samuel to prove that babies are in heaven, that babies go to be with the Lord. So I want you guys to open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel. And the exact verse that we're going to go to is 2 Samuel 15 through 23. Okay? But as you guys are opening up your Bibles or your apps to 2 Samuel 15 or 2 Samuel 12, excuse me, 15 through 23, 2 Samuel 12, 15 through 23, I want to read from Living the 66 Books of the Bible. The book of 2 Samuel can be summed up in one word: David. It's the story of his 40-year reign over Judah and Israel. The first 10 chapters tell us how he built his kingdom. The next 10 tells us, sadly, how he wrecked his life. Yet God, in his mercy, led David to contrition, repentance, and restoration, making him the greatest Israelite king in the Bible and the great composer of many of the Psalms of the Old Testament. Like David, we aren't perfect. May the Lord keep us from sin, especially the kinds of sin that wreck our reputations and bring reproach on his kingdom. But only in heaven will there be a sinless environment for sinless people. Until then, we must constantly and continually live under the reign of the rule of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, and the King of Righteousness. Let's go there now. And we'll read it together. And this book, or this chapter of the book of 2 Samuel is David's child dies. Let's go through this. And the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not. Nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, quote, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we say to him that the child is dead? He may do himself some harm. But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David understood that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, quote, "Is the child dead?" They said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went to his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servant said to him, quote, "What is this thing that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food." He said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he is dead." Pay attention to this next part. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. Now, David is not planning on going to hell. He says, "I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." So in order for David to go to him, he would have to go to the Lord, which is where David was definitely going. And David, being such a man of the Lord, such an anointed king, he tells you right there, "I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." The music is distracting me. I thought Jeremy was kind of rude to that person. Very good message, though, today. I said, "God bless you. Have a good day." They said they were leaving. My apologies. But David gives us a little insight right there as to where his dead child went. And here's the thing. Ready for this? It brings me some peace today, knowing that my sin of aborting a baby did not pass down to the child and the child go to hell. Because David's sin of sending a man to his death to fornicate and lay with his wife and have a baby with his friend's wife, and then that baby dying as a result of David's sin, did not fall to the baby. It stopped with David. And the baby went to heaven, which David said he will then go be with that baby. So what does that tell you? That tells you that if you had a baby pass away in your past, whether it was before the baby was born or after, you will see that baby again. Now, you won't see them in the same capacity as you saw them here. You won't, how do I say it? You won't be their mom or dad in heaven. You will remember being their mom or dad in heaven, and you'll have a special connection with that person. But everything you need in heaven is in Christ. So it will be a little bit different when you see them. You won't experience any pain because of what happened or because of the lifetime you spent without them here. You'll only experience joy that you are reconnected with that child. So we have biblical proof that A, you are not born into sin. You are born with a sinful nature that ultimately will take over and you will sin. You're not born with accountability because you don't know right or wrong. God is sovereign over death and life itself, and he oversees everything. And you have nothing to worry about because David said that his child, whom was born out of a very sinful act, was taken to be with the Lord. And we know this because David said, I shall go to him, but he will never return to me. So this brings me a lot of peace today. And if I was rude in any way to that person that said they weren't going to be here, I just said, have a great day. God bless you. But if that had tones of rudeness, that wasn't my intention. My intention was to get out this message today and not to let anything distract from the message. And I don't think a little bit of light music in the background distracts from the message. If that's the case, then those churches that have a piano playing through beginnings or ends of the message, I guess you just don't hear what that pastor has to say. I hope that today's message actually brought some peace to your life. Because I know that there are some of you out there who lost a child. I knew before we even started today. Grammy Love says, this is a hard topic, but one needed to discuss. People are talking about the child growing in heaven. That's a great, I've not seen anything biblically for that, but that's definitely a great thought, and you're probably right. The Lord is merciful and just, says Teapots. I agree. I agree, Rosebud. I agree that there's a place for it. FL Girl says yes. FL Girl, you got your donation, right? From the LFA family? I just want to be sure. Jeremy, you're such a great speaker and put peace in all our hearts no matter what the topic. Well, thank you. That is definitely a gift from God, right? Public speaking and all that. Why are people so weak? Stop complaining all the time, says Import. See, Gannon, I agree this is a very tough subject. I live with it every day of my life and feel so much pain over what I may have done in the past. Well, this message today hopefully will alleviate some of that pain. Sass says, I barely heard the music. I was focusing on the message. MacGyver says, I didn't hear any rudeness. I think the music is comforting. Well, everybody definitely has an opinion over it for sure. Since it is now December 5th, we are going to read from the 5th chapter of Luke as we make our way through the 24 chapters until Christmas Eve. P.M. Reese, I lost my daughter and 2 grandsons, and God carried me through that. God is good. We will all be together someday. Not today, Satan, said CQ. Amen. Folks, do me a favor. Share the message. Give us a rumble as we get into Luke chapter 5. Now, if you haven't been here the last few days, we've been reading from chapter 1, and we're going to read all the way to New Year's, to Christmas Eve, excuse me, the chapters of Luke. Today's chapter is Jesus calls the first disciples. Yesterday we talked about how his own community shunned him, and he was performing miracles and healing everyone, right? Here we go. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw 2 boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Jesus cleanses a leper. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but to go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for proof to them. Now, I just want to stop right there. This is Jesus understanding that he's dealing with Jewish teachers and Jewish rule in the synagogues. Pharisees and Sadducees and people that wanted power. But he's honoring the laws of Moses, which after Jesus really don't apply the same way they did back then. But he's still honoring the laws and respecting the laws of Moses. Just like Jesus didn't have to be baptized by John, but he did it anyway because this is how people in that time, in that faith, in that region recognized the baptism. Even though Jesus didn't have to do it, he knew that this is what people expected. Just like we don't have to be baptized in water to actually be saved, but we do it for a public, statement. And basically like saying, amen, you're sealing it, right? Let's go back to the message here. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He did that yesterday in the chapter prior to that too. He did that quite a bit, didn't he? Jesus heals a paralytic. One of those days he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all. And they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, We have seen extraordinary things today. Jesus calls Levi. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, Follow me and leave everything behind. He rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Question about fasting. And they said to him, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." Jesus said to them, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But the new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new. For he says, the old is good." I love reading the Bible with you guys. We don't often sit down and actually read like this. We go through verses and we break them down and talk about how it's applying to my life or your life. But ladies and gentlemen, keeping up with the narrative of talking about children, and today's show on Live from America, we're going to be talking about what's going on in the Supreme Court about mutilating children. I want to take this opportunity now, if I can, to go to Nicholas Bowling. Nicholas Bowling, obviously, you know him. He's always at these like pride festivals and stuff preaching the word of God. This is a video that he put out a few days ago called "They Want Your Children." And that's exactly what they want. Satan wants you to kill them. And if you don't kill them, then Satan uses the LGBTQ and the crazy trans community to take over their minds, bodies, and souls. Here's Nicholas Bowling.
"We are people who spread love. People like you, this is what God's going to look down on and shun.
Everything you said is love, God says is an abomination.
It is not an abomination.
That's what God said.
Who is my child hurting by identifying as female?
It's harmful towards God and it's harmful towards himself.
God better get over it.
How many?
If everyone here is going to hell, I'll be glad to burn with you.
If being gay is an abomination, why does it feel so holy when I make out with a hot girl?
The Bible is up for interpretation. It is not a direct message from God.
Everything you just said, the scripture says the opposite. Jesus will rescue you from giving into that desire and that attraction for men.
The drag queens are influencing children by reading books to them. Y'all are the OG groomers. Y'all are f***ing the kids.
I've been preaching the gospel at my local city's Pride Festival for several years now, and recently the event seemed to have doubled in size, but so do the opportunities for us to spread the truth in love. Among many people that we spoke with, there was a gay son of a Pentecostal pastor, multiple drag queens, and a couple who believed in the flat earth theory. Normally, after we finish preaching and the crowd begins to disperse, a few people approach us and let us pray for them. But this time, three people let us pray for them at different moments right there in front of the crowd of hecklers. So much happened that we had to split this video into two parts. Despite the resistance, we saw God powerfully opening hearts and working at a magnitude we haven't seen at these types of events. Make sure to like, subscribe, and click the notification bell.
You're not a child, you're a man.
You're not a child, you're a man. Well, maybe we, as men, we can save these children then. So go back to Nicholas here.
There was actually something that created everything. It wasn't that everything came from nothing. But there's a God, and he's from everlasting to everlasting.
Here you go.
How do you feel touching that?
You want your flag back?
How do you feel touching that?
Well, the rainbow is taken from the Bible.
That's not right.
So first off, God created rainbows. God didn't create rainbows. How did rainbows come about?
It's a fraction of light.
In the Bible, it says God said, let there be light.
Right, well, that's not true. It's a reflection of light hitting off the water molecules in the sky.
Well, yeah, that's the scientific explanation of it.
That's correct.
But that wasn't how it originated. You're just explaining how it happens. The rainbow actually was a promise that God made right after God flooded the earth and he rescued Noah, and he rescued Noah's family. Right after that took place. Yeah. Not the flat earth. But the whole reflection thing, you're explaining it. What's that have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? What's it have to do? Hey, listen, flat earth or round earth, if people die in their sins, they're going to be eternally separated from God. But that's not God's desire. If you're truly a Christian, why are you arguing with me about a flat earth or a round earth? Because regardless of if it's flat or round, it doesn't affect us. What does affect us is the good news of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, he came to the earth to save his people from their sins. You see, Jesus loves each and every person. And the Bible says he came from heaven.
Where did heaven come from then?
Well, God created heaven.
Who created God?
God's from everlasting to everlasting.
Someone had to create him.
No one had to create him. Why did someone have to create him?
Well, why did someone have to create anything else then?
Because we didn't just come about from nothing.
Yeah, we kind of did.
So nothing created everything.
Yeah.
Do we have any scientific evidence of that ever happening?
Oh, yeah, a ton, actually.
Okay, what?
Yeah, have you, read about the Big Bang and all that?
You're already saying everything came from nothing, or that's how creation came about. But what other evidence do we have that shows that everything came from nothing?
If you don't have any evidence, why do I need evidence?
I have evidence that God is real.
No, you don't.
Look at the tree right there. Look at that bush right there. Look at the grass right here. Look at you and me standing here. That's evidence. The fact that Jesus Christ, he came to the earth, lived a perfect life, raised people from the dead. He gave the blind their sight. He gave the mute their speech, the deaf their hearing. He himself was raised from the dead.
Yeah, that's the exact same evidence I have, bud.
That evidence points to Jesus Christ being real and everything being created through him.
I never said he wasn't real.
So Jesus, he spoke about the Father and confirmed that everything was created through him. So not that everything came from nothing, but Jesus, even the first book of John, it says that nothing that was made without him, but everything was created through Jesus Christ.
I don't know what Bible you got, but mine doesn't say that, man.
What Bible do you have?
King James.
So many different versions.
The King James? I can show you. The King James does say that in John chapter 1.
Where'd you learn all this stuff?
It doesn't say it.
Did you learn all this at school, or did you learn it at church? Or?
I learned it from the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures.
Oh, so you didn't go to school for all this.
John chapter 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. I already quoted it. I asked him if he wanted me to show him from the Bible, so that's the Bible right there.
Read my favorite verse, though.
What's your favorite verse?
Ezekiel 23:20.
For she lusted for her, you want to say that word? Paramours?
Paramours.
Paramours, thank you. Whose flesh is like the flesh of donkeys and whose issue is like the issue of horses. So that's your favorite. Why is that your favorite verse?
Why not?
What? It's not my favorite verse.
Clearly. If you don't even know how to pronounce paramour, then obviously it's not your favorite verse.
Yeah. So Jesus, he is the one who created everything, like I was saying. And I just showed you. You said it wasn't in the Bible, but there it was in the Scripture. But man, God loves you and God cares about you.
Oh, no, I know.
And he sent Jesus to come into the earth. So yeah. you do believe in God?
No.
No?
Excuse me.
But you said that
Jesus
he loves you.
Jesus didn't make everything. God made everything, which means he made everybody that's here. So he didn't make
mistakes.
That's
Jesus.
And Jesus didn't make anything.
Everything you just said is 100% correct. That God made everything through Jesus Christ, and he made us fearfully and wonderfully. God didn't make mistakes. But I feel like within your statement, you're insinuating that God made people gay.
Yes, he did.
That's what you're insinuating.
My child
That's the rebellion against God.
Identifies as female. And there's nothing wrong with my child. God made my child, made my child the way they are. If you don't like it, that's your problem.
You just said your child was male, but he calls himself female.
Correct.
So God made him male, but you said your son calls himself
because
female.
My child
but God,
is female.
But
in
you
their
see,
mind. God made their mind.
There's the free will.
See, yeah, God gave us free will. God said, "Be who you want to be, as long as you're not hurting anybody." It doesn't matter what you identify as, who you identify as, be a good person, it's all set.
You said that God said, be whoever you want to be.
Be a good person.
Where's that at?
Because God didn't say I had to stay female. God didn't say, oh, this is the body we gave you, this is all you can be. God gave you the right to choose who you want to be.
We've got.
Wow. Okay. Maybe we'll pick that. I love Nicholas Bowling. I love the way he just basically just continues to handle himself with patience and self-control. Wow, we're already getting, it's 8:59 already, huh? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are getting to the end of the show. Wow, what a great show today. I hope today's show helped you out. And I hope you can share it with somebody that it will also help out. I think today's show brought me some peace. And I think it brought a lot of you some peace as well. Great interviews there by Nicholas Bowling. A lot of courage that takes to do that. But let's go ahead and end today's show because it looks like, yep, Mike Crispy is starting right now. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for being here today. M. Berryman, we hope you come back. God bless you for being here. Share the word. Share the show to your friends. Maybe we'll get some more newcomers in here. Having said that, folks, God bless you. Have a great day, and I'll see you at 11 o'clock for 2 hours of Live from America, okay? All right, see you later, folks.
There will be no other God before you. There's no one, no one, no one. There's nobody like Jesus. I've tasted and I've seen. Nobody like Jesus. I'm trying them for myself. There's nobody like Jesus. He's kept my mind all of my life. There's nobody like Jesus. He who keeps me in perfect peace.